Check. What's up, everybody? It's your boy DJ Spot of the Don, and we are back. With another episode of It's Facts Podcast. Of course, with my co-host Ari A. We're gonna make it official on the flyer, by the way, Ari. My bad. You know, you've been holding me down for a minute. I know we originally didn't know how long you'd be able to help me because you were planning to go to Atlanta, but you've been such a great co-host during this time period. It's only gonna make it right. I'm gonna add your name to the flyer. My bad, not taking this long. I'm sorry about that.
I appreciate it.
Right. Once again, it's my co-host, Ari A. Music. Man, give a round of applause. Bask in it. Feel it. You know what I'm saying? The kind of applause. But how you been, mama? It's been a minute.
I've been really well. I can't complain. A little chilly, you know. Real cold in Florida right now. But honestly, I've been really taking time to kind of like reflect on a lot of things recently. So getting my, you know, 2021 game plan together.
Facts. We've been talking. That game plan is coming together for both of us. I'm really happy that what you've been working on is coming together. We're going to talk more about that, but I really think that, like you said, the game plan is not coming together, not just coming together, but we're both taking big steps and big leaps in our plans to reach what we want to do. So once again, I salute to you, really. Just coming back, just take you out, just jump, step in when you're talking about, but like, just salute out to you again because of what you were doing, you know, just your plan to go to Atlanta. You didn't get a chance to go because of some bullshit, and you ended up, you know what, I'm going to stay, go to Tallahassee where we both know people, but you're able to establish yourself, not just tread water, but actually start making some growth and steps in growth and advancing. So once again, big shouts out to you.
Shouts out to you too, man. Making moves, being consistent. I love the consistency, man. Like my brother is out here making big moves, really making your name felt in the 407 scene. So I'm definitely proud of you for that. And keep going, keep pushing. Fly at night is the brand. Yeah, I don't know. You should know. You should tell everybody that you know about Fly at Night.
Facts. Ari A, you know, is one of her brands, but you work really hard. I'm looking forward to your new music coming out. So, see, everybody, you got to start off your friendships with affirmations. I want everybody to know that's how you keep good friendships, good working relations. But yeah, so the past 2 weeks, we've had some crazy times. I'm saying about crazy. I mean, some of the things that happened, both of us could not have. Well, we kind of knew we could have. I think in our head, some of that stuff that happened, we in our thought process, we could think it would have, we could see it happening, but we never would have believed. Yeah. If you would have told me that some of the stuff that happened over the past 2 weeks happened, I would not believe you. I like, oh, I can see it happening, but I wouldn't believe it happened. You know what I mean?
I didn't know, like, that sounds real 2020. This is not that year, but apparently,
2021 got time. She got time. She got time. But yeah, as we both, we're recording right now while we're watching the NFC divisional round game of Tampa and New Orleans. I don't care who wins.
Go New Orleans.
She's rooting for New Orleans. I'm just rooting for Jameis and Leonard Fournette. I don't care who wins, but unfortunately we are both Jaguar fans and we don't have a dog in the playoff fight at all. So whoever wins is all right for me.
Yeah,
I've been here. I feel you. So anyway, where do you want to start? We've already talked about our different topics we want to talk about, but I want to see where you want to start so we can set it off right.
I want to start with Lucci because I think what happened to Lucci is what happens to a lot of artists, mm-hmm, who can't leave the street life alone I think when you get to a certain level that you need to level up and your surroundings need to level up, because in an instant, like, everything you've ever dreamed of, ever worked for, can be gone, mm-hmm, by one wrong decision. And it's not looking well for him.
It's not. I'll even say this. It's not, some parts, how I see it, it's not even just... Even, oh, touchdown. Oh, dropped it. Oh, Jesus. Sorry. We will be making reactions to the game during the time period. I understand. Hope you understand the area. I will be making reactions to the game in real life. But, oh, does he? He gets 1 foot, 2 foot down. He continues to catch. No, it doesn't continue. They'll catch all the way through. He just had to hold on to that. But anyway, I don't even think it's the not leaving the street life alone, but it's really just them wanting to stay relevant, and then them having certain elements of the street life around them to make them feel like they're always connected to the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, because especially as you being a rapper, me being a DJ, we've been in like I said, we've been in clubs, we've been in really street situations where drugs are being handled, and I'm just there to play my music, fam. I'm getting my paycheck. I don't know where the money came from. Is the money clean or dirty? I just need that money to go in my hand and it'd be real dollar bills, you know what I'm saying? Or a check that can clear. And I know you being a rapper, you've been in a situation where you're performing in some of the hood spots or some parties, and it is what it is. It's all around you. You can't, especially because we're both from Jacksonville, it goes down in the Bingham. So, like, I've seen at a recording studio in the Bingham where I'm sitting in on a session, homeboy, one of the engineers pulls out a bag of pills, like, and just puts them on the table, and then while homeboy's recording, he's over there, like, somebody calling him on the phone about getting a pack, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just like it's sometimes unavoidable, but yet this is a cautionary tale for young artists to understand. Like you said, there has to be a point of a separation. You know what I mean? You have to be able to take a step away. You can tell the stories. You don't got to be always in the story. You can tell the stories, but you got to make sure that you are able to maintain who you are and secure your opportunities. Because, like you said, Lucci is a perfect example. A perfect example of somebody who and that's the thing about Lucci. He never fully broke through. He was always almost there. But he never fully broke through. And I think part of the problem is this. He's always in that element. He can never fully give himself 100% to finding success. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what if Meek Mill, if he was still Meek Mill with the braids, he would never make it to who Meek Mill is now. No.
This Lucci situation, although the situation is different, it reminds me of the C-Murder situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you see C-Murder is still fighting, you know, even though he didn't, you know, allegedly he didn't do it. Just being in that environment, you know, after having so many warnings and so many, like, close calls. It's just, separation, I understand, you know, being loyal to your people, but your people got to be loyal to you and make sure that because of the position that you are in and because of how many miles you're feeding, that you're not in certain situations.
Hey, but I'll even say this, like, you got to have that self-awareness to give yourself that separation. Like, I think it's cool to say they should make sure you're not, but no, he needs to make sure he's feeding himself. You know what I mean? He needs to make sure, oh, man, I don't need to be out here. What y'all boys doing? I can't be a part of that, bro. That's not my business. And that's a part. And that's a part of the street life. Like, some niggas like, oh, I got to ride. I'm down for the crew. I'm down with the clique. You know what I'm saying? I'm affiliated, but at some point, I had to, when I went, especially for me, it was like going to college and playing college ball versus being hanging out in the streets with some of my friends in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll come back and I'll make sure my homeboy's out here, we having a good time. But guess what? We would be, hey, man, I can't do none of that stuff. I got to go to school on such day. You know what I'm saying? So.
It's priorities. And then, you know, not outside of him being a rapper, being an entertainer, you know, Lucci has kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, especially when you have
and a significant other. You know, and a significant other, like somebody who cared about him.
Yeah. And, like, so my cousin, he was killed outside his studio in 2016. And it's just like, when you get into that lifestyle, unfortunately, sometimes your kids or your significant other or just somebody, a family member, can be the target of certain situations. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you gotta be aware of your decisions affect you, but they also affect the people that you love as well. So you gotta be like cognizant of that.
Yeah, and that's where the, oh, I'm in the streets, drive-by shooting happened, grandma will get shot up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Or a four-year-old.
Or four, yeah, exactly. In her house. Exactly. Mind her business.
Yeah. During the drive-by. She ain't doing nothing wrong. She in her house. She's home in her house playing. And y'all went to the block and this little four-year-old girl died. But, like, come on, bro.
But even worse than that, we don't even need to get to that point. You know what I mean? Like, because there's some people trying to say, oh, man, make sure y'all shooting at who you get. Why we even get to the point where we need to shoot people? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That already is a bar too far for me. You know what I'm saying? It's already, like, I've seen, of course, me and you being from where our families are from, where we grew up in, Tally ain't, shit ain't sweet in Tally either. You know what I'm saying? We growing up in Tally, I can tell you for a fact, shit ain't sweet there either. But people getting shot up, people getting stabbed, people getting beat up. You know, it's some of those things that you kind of look back on. And Lucci had a grand opportunity. He was, and I think, wasn't he the one of the last artists really on Think It's a Game that actually had some weight? I think he was.
Yeah, he was.
And it's like, mm-hmm. you gotta be. You got to secure you at all. I know 2020 was a tough year for all entertainers. It was very tough. If you can't get no shows because they shut the venues down, you know what I mean? Dog, you got to be able to flip this OnlyFans bag or whatever bag you can get. You know what I mean? Get the cameo bag going. Get you a record that you want to run up on some challenge type shit. Get some streams up. Bro, you got to do everything you can to dance and get yourself together. But I don't know what got him in the situation. I don't know beyond that. Like we're going to say, allegedly he was a part of this situation because that's what they're saying in the details. But the fact is, some of my problems about it is it's on some street code shit too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your homeboy got shot up, bro. But you throw his body like it's nothing and drive off.
If I was in that situation, if I see my homeboy just got shot, I don't care what's going on. If this my partner, we going straight to the hospital. I don't care if I got to do a million on the highway or wherever we got to go. I'm getting you to the nearest medical facility. Yeah, like
exactly. Think about it. What does that say to his family? You're not really his friend. You just dumped his body. His body was trash to you. He was expendable. He my partner. No, he not. He's a piece of trash. Because that's how you treated him. You get what I'm saying? That makes me not want to be cool with you at all. Because my body in that moment, my loved one in that moment was trash to you. I can't respect you because you treated my brother, my cousin, my son, my partner like trash. I know you got us. We gotta do what we gotta do to stay out of trouble. You already got in trouble for getting y'all trying to roll up and drive by. They caught you slipping and they shot back. They did what they had to do.
So you got caught on camera though.
And they got caught on camera too.
They got caught on camera with dumping his body.
Exactly, like dog, like I don't know, man. It's one of them things. But I just want every artist. Especially hip, not just hip, because you know people in other genres do some crazy shit. But every young artist needs to take a lesson from the stories of Lucci, stories of C Murda, the stories of XXX, stories of Juice WRLD. Who else? Story of Pop Smoke.
Melly.
You know what I'm saying? A story. Who's another good one? Another story of a great that got caught up in
Little Snoop.
Yeah. But the thing is, these stories are like almost all the same, but all different at the same time. They all involve people trying to live up to their raps too much. No, like you thing is like you lived that life. You can tell the story about that life, but then you also got a transition. That's one thing I give 21 Savage such a lot of credit for. You know what I'm saying? 21 Savage has totally matured. He still raps that street shit, and you know he totally turned his life around. Not just turned his life around, but he's become more of a boss as he's become to evolve as an artist. I mean, he's still
like, especially like in his interviews, just the way he's been talking and carrying himself, like as a father, you can see like the way 21 Savage has evolved and just stepped up to place, like in all aspects of his life. But like you can see that he credits a lot of his growth to like having kids and making sure that he's there and taking care of them.
Yeah, and it's just like you can be from the street. You know, I mean, look at Jay-Z, and you can remove yourself from the street elements and boss up in a different way. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be in the street to be dope. We've seen so many artists that come from that street element that go, you know what? I don't got to be in the street no more. I can show niggas how to flip their bread doing this. I can show niggas how to flip their bread, you know what I mean, multiple different ways. Like Rick Ross, you know what I mean? He was a CEO, but that's not beside the point. But but the type of shit that he talking is about like getting money, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But, you know, We'll see. I pray for the best, but also I'll be dead. This is how I feel about. I'll be real with you, Ari. This is how I feel about a lot of people. If you did that shit, fuck them.
Hey.
That's on the boss. That's on my brothers and sisters of the struggle. That's on everything I love, bro. Like, and that's me telling how my situation. Like, I'm cool with everybody, but my thing is this: if you do that puss ass shit. And you leave your boy on the side, dump his body on the side of the road, like he's trash or a means to an end, fuck you. Because you ain't his homie. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
And then another thing, Melly, YNW Melly, I fuck with him. But if you the one who shot your homeboys, if I don't know if it's truth, it's alleged by what the law says. But if you did that, those ain't your homeboys. You ain't their homeboys. Fuck you. I mean, that's how I feel. That's how I run with it. Like, I'm not even fearing for the shooter. I'm like, yo, where's your decency as a man? And so, like, I don't know, man.
As a man, as a human, that's these people you with all the time. Like, that's wild to me. That people can even like cross out like. It's wild.
And that's coming from somebody who I understand the street, how the street elements can get heated. You know what I mean? The street elements can get heated. You know what I'm saying? And like, even when I removed my being younger, just hanging out, even though, you know, I grew up on a suburb side of town, but still I was in every summer I was downtown on the south side of town, being around those elements, you know what I'm saying? Or having friends and family around those elements. I moved to Mississippi. I was around those type of elements. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like I was more adjacent. I would not say where I was like the most street nigga. I was like I was a guy who's around it. And by being around it, you kind of get somewhat like affiliated by association. You know what I'm saying? Not saying I did everything and that I'm not a super official, but I'm enough to where people who know me. You know what I'm saying? But it's like it's one of them situations, bro. Like I don't like talking like people talking about, oh, free the guy. When we know the guy did it, nah, leave that guy there. He's not helping nobody. All right.
And as somebody who grew up in the heart of it, I need to say this. Just because you come from it don't mean you got to stay in it. Like, elevation should always be the key. It should be always what you're working for, man. Like,
yeah.
It's called the trap for a reason. Like, it's a trap. Like, exactly. You got to get out of it. You got to make some shape.
Exactly. Say it again. It's called a trap for a reason, dog. There's one way in. Sometimes there's one way in, and there's multiple ways out. But you got to be the one who knows how to pick the lock. You know what I mean? But big prayers to Lucci's family. Prayers to the victims. Prayers for Lucci. I'll say it this way: in this alleged situation, if it turns out it truthfully. He had nothing to do with it, which is kind of hard to say that. because of the evidence they say they have. But I don't want to. I'm not the guy trying to sentence nobody. But what I'm saying is, if it's what's wrong is wrong, what's right is right. That's all I'm saying. From what it sounds like. But pray for him in this situation. Make sure it whatever happens is a justice for the victim and himself as well.
If you're innocent, free to guys, you ain't save time, big dog. It is what it is.
Yeah, you got you want to see, you gonna be on there. You better sit down with it. But it is what it is. But all right. that was a tough topic to talk, because we had to go. That's a really tough topic to start off with. But I'm glad that kind of. That also shows like where we're at, you know what I'm saying? Where we stand, you know what I'm saying? And our views on it. I think Lucci had a tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity. And if everything pans out, maybe he might get an opportunity to come out again and make music. But who knows?
If you get a second chance, man, don't waste it. Like, for real, for real.
That's for every artist.
If this type of situation don't make you mature and really get on your P's and Q's, I really don't know what will.
I feel you. Let's switch the topic. This is a heavy. This is a dark topic. I'm gonna put a round of applause. We handle that topic with grace. We handle that topic with the respect it deserved, and everybody. Hope everybody understands. You can see our where we stand with it morally. You know what I mean. So that's all I want everybody to know. So what are we gonna hit up next, Ari?
I don't wanna go back to back heavy topics, but I kinda wanna talk about it because we're so close to inauguration. I feel like it's something that needs to be addressed. The Capitol riot, it needs to be addressed. It's something, first of all, 2021, you came in here wild. Man. Okay. Like
2021.
Obviously, 2021 was being lit. Like, came in here on his worst behavior, like Drake. Like, I don't know what 2021 is doing. Like, this weather, the events, everything. I don't know.
2021 came in here like, oh, 2020, hold my beer, bro. Oh, you thought you right. You thought you had some politics go down. I got politics for you. But yeah, you're right. The Capitol riots is something that. We're not just a hip-hop podcast. We definitely talk about different things, but this is something that affects the world. And I remember, because, you know, I work during the day. I don't know, were you at home? Were you working? What was your situation? Where were you at during the time?
During that time, I think I was, when I first heard about it, I think I was on my way home. And I just remember, like, walking in the house, cutting the TV on, and I was just like, wait a minute, what? What is this? Like, I was thoroughly confused. And I was like, this is not happening right now. And I think, you know, nothing against our non-melanated brothers and sisters, but I know a lot of my Black friends, we all kind of looked at each other that day and we were like, well, you know, this is our business, but
we ain't
at the same time.
We ain't getting involved.
Yeah, we're going to see how this plays out. And I think when it came out that some of the rioters were actually off-duty police officers and firemen and things like that, and people in positions, and that it was possibly an inside job, I personally got the conclusion that a lot of people who are not Black or minorities were shocked. And for us, it's kind of a reality. Like, we already knew that. Like, this was not a shock to us. Like, it's like, y'all didn't know that it were people like that in uniform doing these type of things.
No,
like,
what, Ari,
y'all really talked about this?
We've been telling people for years that the KKK is in police uniform. We've been telling people for years.
Yeah, like,
and
so.
It was like,
I think for us, we were just like.
Told you.
Y'all shocked right now? Like, for real? Like, y'all yeah. really, like, y'all really didn't know. Like, y'all.
I'll tell you how I felt was really, because what was happening to me, because I work from home. So what I do sometimes, I work in my office, my bedroom, which has my desk and my speakers and my other big screen TV, so I can mirror my screen. And I was actually, what I decided to do that day, because I knew I just wanted to see what was going to happen with the rejection of the votes. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was looking into. Like, okay, I'm going to watch the TV while I'm doing my work. So I watched it in full real time. Ari, when I say full real time, from when Pence said, we're here to certify the votes, and from the first person that objected, I was watching that whole thing roll out. And so I was like,
play by play action.
And so as this shit unfolded, and CNN was like, oh, we're having such and such outside, I'm like, yo, these white people, I'm gonna use a nice word instead of saying the word I use, are really trying it. You know what I'm saying? And I also was thinking, like, yo, over the summertime, when we were protesting for our right to not get shot by the police, they beat our ass. They pepper sprayed, they maced you, whatever they call the stick, they caned you, they hit you with people with water hoses, you know, high power water hoses. They kettle people in and arrest people and just rip them off the street. You know what I'm saying? Just for protesting. And honestly, I'm gonna say this again. People who are breaking into the stores and stealing shit, that is wrong. I never agreed with that. And the majority of Black Lives Matter did not do that. But riots are the voice of the unheard. But what I'm telling y'all white folks is in that Congress, these white people who busted into the Capitol been talking loud as fuck. Y'all just been trying to ignore it for the past 50 years after Martin Luther King, holding Martin Luther King up. Like, oh, we got past civil rights. Martin Luther King, we give it. No. You got past a part of civil rights. But there's still more civil rights to be had. And so, still more justice to be had, actually. I should say that way. But it was just one of those things where I'm sitting there like, I'm stunned. I couldn't believe they went to that level. But like you said, I wasn't surprised of the possibility of it happening. It happening was what was surprising. But the idea of it being an option for people wasn't surprising to me. Because like they were saying, Trump was saying January 6th is going to be such and such, right? He's been telling people to come up to the Capitol that day. He's been talking about steal the election, you know, for the past 4 months, you know what I mean? 3 months.
Stop the steal rallies.
Stop the steal rallies, which was first organized by a black Indian guy, I think. This guy of color.
Who's currently in hiding.
He needs to be in jail now.
He's currently on the run and he's in hiding. Although he just did an interview with CNN.
He needs to be in jail. All of the Mel Brooks, all these senators need to be in jail. And the fact that after the riot where they almost got to Mike Pence and they almost got to Nancy Pelosi, the top number two and number three people in line for secession, dog. Like, and this man still ain't apologized for that shit. How you gonna endanger your vice president and the speaker of the house and be like, ah, wait, they good?
Because he called Mike Pence a pussy for not overturning the election.
Bruh, he lucky Mike Pence is one of the most evangelical people in the world. And he's so afraid of seeing people naked, he barely probably don't even look at his wife naked. You know what I'm saying? He probably has sex with his underwear, with his dick pulling out the underwear hole. That's how conservative Mike Pence is. I'm talking shit. I'm going to talk my shit. Fuck that dude. But I'm just saying, any other grown man, after you set wild people on me to almost kill me and my wife and kids who are also with me, and then I walk into the Oval Office and you call me a pussy, I'm coming over the Oval the desk in the Oval Office and I'm whooping your ass for America, my nigga, dead ass. And I hope somebody got. I'm telling you, put the cell phone camera up. Pull your cell phones out. I'm about to whoop his ass.
Hey, I got 20 on Pence.
Exactly, cause he a farm boy. You know what I'm saying? He got farm boy strength. You know what I'm saying? So it was highly upsetting. It was embarrassing, because I have family in the, across the world, like, hit me up, yo, what's going on? And then you got the French, prime minister making comments. You got our enemies making comments, oh, about America. China made a comment about America, laughing about capitalism, and how they expected the downfall.
Brazil made a comment. I was like, oh, okay, hold on.
Bruh. And the thing is, like, for the past 4 years, we've been the laughing stock of the world. Like,
not even the Florida of the world. Crazy.
Yeah, literally. And it's just like, just watching us become everything we preach about not becoming for other countries. Like, having fair, we go to other countries and we watch their elections, but our election would be quote unquote rigged. We go to countries and we tell them this is how democracy works, and only for us, our democracy to look like a farce. You know what I'm saying? I was embarrassed. I was shocked. I wasn't mad, but I was embarrassed. It was so embarrassing for that to be displayed to the world.
I'm not gonna lie, the thing that I laughed, but it's not a laughable thing. I laughed at the fact that they were like, they had no notification or idea that this is taking place, going to take place. And in my head, I'm like, bro, they've been talking about this on social media for months. Like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, they've been talking about
exactly.
This still rally.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how you guys were not aware that this was about to happen. Like, I was actually waiting to see what was going to happen. Nice. Because they specifically picked this date and they've been talking about this for months.
And not even just that. How are we doing the better job for the FBI than them doing for themselves? We,
like, maybe they've been like, this isn't credible. They don't have the balls to do this. But, you know,
nah.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Nah. Like, the fucked up shit is, black people, we riot, but we fuck up our neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Then you beat our ass for fucking up our neighborhoods. You got people coming to the government, and you ain't had not one. Like, after Trump did with the National Guardsmen to the church, I knew he was gonna have they were gonna have somebody outside for them niggas. You know what I'm saying? I knew he just had somebody outside for them boys. But nope, they got to roll up in the Capitol. Some got let inside, moved around. You know what I mean? Asked politely. One, you saw that lady getting help down the steps.
Yeah, help down the steps. They were taking selfies with officers. They was just, you know, walking. They was having a grand old. They was getting a nice, good old tour. You know, I hate to say this. I don't think this is going to be the boiling point.
No, it's not.
I think this isn't the start, but this is not the boiling point. I do think something else is going to happen. I pray it's nothing that's really catastrophic, but this is something I saw happening, you know, even before Donald Trump came into.
Well, let's be honest. The Republican Party never put a bottle on the Tea Party. When they first came to power,
they did not.
So this is all because of the Tea Party. I'm telling you, this is all because of the Tea Party. It's all because of birtherism. The Tea Party was Donald Trump started the birtherism shit, and you know Ted Cruz is one of the Tea Party candidates.
I just gotta talk about Ted Cruz. First of all, Ted Cruz isn't even from there, so that's number one. Number two, his real name isn't even Ted. It's Raphael.
He's a Cuban American. We know about Cuban Americans here in Florida.
He's a Canadian. Like, it's just like, bro.
His dad is Cuban. He's a Cuban Canadian American.
Yeah.
So, like, we know how Cubans get down here in Florida. And if you're a good Cuban, I apologize for painting you all like that. But you're Miami Cubans as a whole group.
Yeah.
Y'all trash. Sorry. Y'all by far, no, I'll take it back. The white power Dominicans are just as bad as the Cubans. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
and I love Hispanic people. My girlfriend's Puerto Rican. I mean, I've dated Dominicans. I've dated many women of all different flavors and persuasions. But it's just I don't know. It's just Trump. Like, the funny thing is that what's his damn name from South Carolina? Lindsey Graham,
Scott,
Ted Cruz,
Lady G,
Marco Rubio. When y'all was running for president against Trump, y'all was talking so much cash shit. And then once he got in office, y'all bent over letting that man fuck y'all for the past 4 years.
And Ted Cruz gets no respect. This man called your wife ugly twice to your face. He said you were stupid, and he said your dad
shot John F. Kennedy
was basically a crimp. Yeah, like, come on, bro. Like,
and you down with him. You down with him to the point you want him to stay another 4 years? Bruh,
this man ain't got no spine.
No spine. The Republican Party has no spine. So it's been that, and that's the thing. Like, we people who are, may not be, all of us may not be Democrats. I'm a non-party affiliated voter. You know what I'm saying? I vote more liberal on things, but I have voted in some states, some cases I've voted for a good solid Republican, is more centrist Republican in some situations. But the thing is like, and the Republican campaign on fear all the time. So
it's the Republican Party is the party of rhetoric. The only thing that the Republicans are better at than Democrats is controlling the narrative.
Marketing. That's all it is.
Their rhetoric is superb. Like, it's been fucking fantastic. Like, I'm not even gonna, like, I can't even hate, bro. Like, it's just like, damn, y'all really get people to.
But the thing is, it's not just that. It's they market on fear and emotion, and talking to your passions or to you know what I'm saying. So when they talk about, oh, they're gonna take your guns, they fear monger that. They when they say, like, they're gonna take God out of school, they fear they're good at playing on people's emotions. Meanwhile,
yeah, their stuff has no logic. At all.
What's funny is they said Obama was going to take y'all's guns. Obama didn't take nobody's gun. They said Clinton was going to take the guns. They didn't take no guns. How much you want to bet Biden doesn't take anybody's guns?
Y'all, well, the NRA just filed for bankruptcy, so this would be interesting.
My thing is, like, yo, you can't say the same shit for 40 years that hasn't been proven true and still be saying that same line. You know what I'm saying? It's, I'll be
real.
Well, you know, another thing I gotta say, it's like when people say there's always gonna be a race war, but black people are never trying to start the race war. Like,
tell me, say this, I'm going 100. We as black people don't care what y'all got going on.
We just trying to live.
We're literally just trying to live our best lives. Like, we're trying to mind our business and live our best lives. We don't care what y'all got going on, like, at all. Like, we're not even, like, remotely interested. Like, do your thing, bro. Just, like, leave us alone.
They have full tactical practices for race wars. These people, these right wing hate groups, they go practicing shooting guns on the weekend with their homies, thinking that black people gonna have time to go, a, get everybody together. We don't even have time to get the Bloods and Crips to stop from shooting each other. When are we gonna have time to get have a whole race war?
Half of us don't even have time to get together for Sunday dinners anymore. Like, we don't have time. We don't have time. We don't care, bro. Like, we're not doing it, bro.
We don't got time. We don't. And the thing is, half the time, y'all was trying to come in our neighborhood, trying to shoot us up, hang us and all shit. So even if we were to start a race war, we are fully justified. Fully justified. But
the thing is this.
We don't care.
They separated us, and we were separately living our best lives. And then once we started living our best lives, anytime we built something in our own neighborhood, like Black Wall Street, for example, y'all was like, y'all can't come up here. Y'all can't do this, that, and third. Like, all right, bet, say less.
We're going to have our own doctors.
And y'all come over here. Yeah. It's like, bro, like, what do y'all want, bro? Like
give us some of your money. Give us some of your money. No, are you sure? Okay, we can. Oh, no, you can't. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's just get off that topic too. That's a dark topic, but I just want America to understand they got it. We got to do better, baby. We looking. We going out sad. We going out
I'm
sad.
I'm from Florida, and we both from Florida, and America is really the Florida of the world right now, and that's not necessarily a good thing. It's kind of lit at times, a little dangerous, though.
I mean,
but
yeah.
You know that's
I mean, maybe we're not that bad. You know, Brazil is on a different level than us. They Bolsonaro. I mean, he's another.
Nah, the reason why we're the Florida of the world is because if you think about it, Floridians are crazy. I'm pretty sure it's the water. I'm pretty sure. But they're not insane, if that makes sense.
Oh, God. I get you. All right. But I'm just going to say the last thing, but we just got to get our shit together. Biden, if he gets in the first 100 days and gets the things that he said he wants to pass, we should be fine. I want them to impeach Trump so he can never hold public office ever again. And I want him to want.
And if we ain't got to pay for his salary for the rest of his life,
no, he doesn't deserve a pension. He does not deserve Secret Service. He does not deserve my tax dollars going to him at all. And if y'all Trump supporters want to donate your money to Trump, y'all do that. Just keep my money out of it. Period. All right, Ariel, I'm gonna give us another round of applause. We handled that topic with a little bit more passion than we did the first one. But still, we handled it with grace and idealism and truth. That's us speaking our truth. I think we need to have a happy moment right here. Dr. Dre has officially been discharged from the hospital after suffering that brain aneurysm and getting surgery on it right away. So we give our prayers and thank you, God, for letting Dr. Dre come back and be a part of the music world, because he means so much to maybe not me personally, but to the genre of music that I love and to the people who make music that I love. So thank you. Thank God for Dr. Dre being back on his 2 feet and being able to take care of his family. And I know he still got some stuff going on with his ex-wife and stuff. So let's hope they can get that resolved as well. But yeah. So what else are we gonna talk about, Ari? What is the thing we're gonna cover today?
Let's talk about some music.
Music.
New music. Shout out to Ariana Grande. Remix for 34-35 with Megan Thee Stallion and Doja Cat. Shout out to those ladies. They're definitely gonna run up the numbers on that.
Is Doja Cat officially no longer canceled?
I personally don't cancel people. So I can't really comment on that. But also Dave Chappelle pointed this out. In today's society, there is this thing called the 72-hour rule.
Yeah.
And after 72 hours, once it's out of the news cycle, you start dropping some things. People tend to forget or pretend to forget about why you are canceled. Like, people get canceled and uncanceled all of the time.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't ever really follow cancel culture because it's just like, you know.
I mean.
Do your thing, bro.
Personally, I didn't like Doja Cat's situation. Nor am I really a big fan of her music. Besides, when she made Juicy, it was a good song. Because I try not to be too much of a fan. I try to be more professional. But there's artists who like I said, like Kendrick, who I really care about. Artists who I really care about. I like their music, but I try not to be too much of a fan because you blur that line into fandom, fanaticism. You know what I'm saying? Things like what happened on the 6th of January can happen. But overall, the 34-35 song, I was really happy with that record when Ariana put it out regularly. I think the remix is going to be good. I haven't heard the full remix yet, but I know it's going to be.
It's dope.
Yeah, with the people that she put on it, makes sense. It's going to be a good record. So I think it's going to be a good record. Even like Doja Cat has a new record out with us with Sweetie, my best friend. That's a dope record too. Dope record. I think Doja's been talented. I have no other problem with Doja as an artist. She's a talented artist. I think some things that she does personally in her life are problematic. But I don't have to support her because she's not my, my artist. I play her music from time to time.
I've been on R. Doty since 2013 when she was like doing like the song was like So High, No Police, all that and stuff. So like as somebody who's seen her like really put in the work for as many years she's put it in, like I'm happy to see her success moment come. Because a lot of artists like kind of give up by this point in time. Mm-hmm. So from that aspect, I do want to see her like be successful. I don't agree with a lot of things. Well, I don't say a lot of things. Certain things she does, but there are other artists that I listen to that I don't agree with certain things that they do or say. But I'm learning more to separate the artist from the music. Like I try not to get too attached. And then also, I don't know about you. I don't believe in idols. I don't believe in standing for people. Like
that's exactly what I was saying though. Like I don't believe in becoming a fan, a fanatic. You know the actual word fan is comes from the word fanatic. I don't believe in becoming a fanatic. I believe in enjoying their whatever art they're creating at the time, and maybe liking that art. But I'm by no means am I a fanatic.
Yeah, I can't put nobody in no pedestal. Like, you ain't got it, so not there. Yeah. But shout out to them, and then shout out to all the ladies. I feel like this specific time in music, it makes me happy, like, as a woman, because I feel like there are so many different kind of artists right now, as far as in the female realm, where, like, everybody's kind of just, like, doing their own thing, and they're being themselves, and they're doing it unapologetically. And, like, to me, that's so dope because for so long, like, I feel like they always had these specific categories. And if you didn't fit in those categories, they're like, nah, we can't rock with you. And, like, I understand, like, on the mainstream level, it's still kind of like that. But, like, I'm hearing a lot more, like, artists pop up and just be them, do their thing, and just, like, hey, this is me. It is what it is. If I want to talk about this day, I'm going to talk about this. If I want to talk about that, the next day, I'm going to talk about that. And it's not going to be no shame in my game because this is just who I am, type deal.
And that's also...
So I'm happy to see that.
And also, I feel like that's a part of the help with technology made that more feasible. I think women... There's always been a lot of different dope women in the game, period. At all times, there have been Mia X. Of course, you know, you got Trina. You got a whole bunch of girls who are always doing it. It's just that at the time... Nobody could really monetize everybody at one time as streaming services can, where it's decentralized, right? And even I think what people don't understand is the number reason why radio and all that was dominated mostly by male artists was because most of the time the male artists were the ones who actually were just there was more of them. There are more female artists at this time and point than there's ever been. In hip hop,
like, big facts.
So it's not like the fact that now women can do all the music themselves, produce it themselves, distribute it themselves. Now hip hop is music as now as a whole is more seen as a way to as a self service kind of situation. Now at least for the beginning parts, it has allowed more people to enter that field. And then, therefore, by women having more recognition, more visibility, because it doesn't cost $1 million and $2 million to shoot a music video anymore. You can make one for $500, and you can able to control your content. It definitely makes it a lot easier for women in the music space to be a part of it. So, I think that's only helped. Even though I do say like it was kind of problematic that you only had a couple bubbling up to the top, but. That's also because there were so many other men in the field. I don't think it was as sexist as people think it was. It's just that it was a very crowded field. And when you already have budgets for 10 male rappers, you can't sometimes financially justify a female rapper when she costs just as much as two or three of those male rappers with the dancers and the makeup and all the glam that comes with it, you know what I mean? But I'm glad there's more women in the music industry, period. And the fact that they're all dope, they're all talented. Every last one of them can rap, can dance, can sing, and are multifaceted, talented. And the best thing about it is you hit two demographics with one person. You don't got a male artist. Male artists, you got to kind of carve out what their demographic is. Female artists, you hit men and women at the same time. So technically, you can say they may cost more, but the profitability opportunity, if it works well, is a big upside. So I went a little music geek, my bad. But overall, like Doja, that record's dope. I think, like I said, we had more anthems. I don't know if you got a chance to check out the Jasmine Sullivan album Hotels.
I sure did.
I got a couple cuts on that. I've got a couple cuts from my Serato. I've heard that. You know, I think she the fact that she came back out and she's making such a more woman empowering type of album is dope. I think it's one of those things that you're hearing something from a woman's perspective that, you know, that's not very that's not talked about much from that kind of those type of stories. You know what I mean?
I want to say this. Jasmine Sullivan has been talking about a lot of things that she's been talking about on this specific album, well, project, because I remember her in interviews, she said it's not an album. Mm-hmm. She's been talking about it for years, but I feel like a lot of people were not listening, or there was so much other stuff out that they weren't really digesting her album. Like, if you go back to it, she's always been very blunt, very open and honest on all of her projects. And she's always kind of talked about what it's like to be a woman and to navigate through today's society, especially when you don't look a certain way or your physique isn't this, or you don't think like a certain way. And I have to give credit to Jasmine for always being true to herself, even when it wasn't the number one record on Billboard. Yeah. She's always just been, vocally, everybody knows she's like phenomenal, but like lyrically, she's just always been so pure and true to herself. And I just like got to give a shout out to Jasmine for just, how long has Jasmine Sullivan been in the game? I know it's been since before 2009. So it's just like from 2009 to 2021, and to still be able to put out, it seems like she just gets better over time. She's like wine, she gets better over time. And I just appreciate her being authentic in everything that she does. I think that's just so dope.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing we need to take away from anybody being in this situation is, it's not always about the story. Is not always about, I think, I'm trying to say this the right way, because you did mention like not being. I think it's more like a story about growth and like self confidence. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people think, oh, such and such, they don't like me because I'm not the most ideal shaped person, dude. There's somebody for everybody out here. You just gotta be patient and find them. Like I've never understood. I think I'm cute. I ain't Boris Kojo out here. I'm not Morris Chestnut, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think honestly, like her music is about self woman and her empowerment, her growth as a woman coming into her own, you know what I'm saying? And grabbing hold of her sexuality, not just having it happen to her, you know what I mean? Of course,
yes, and being transparent. I love it.
Yeah, so like, if you go check the album out. I've only heard a couple of cuts, but that's pretty much what the album pretty much is about. That's why the Hotels kind of name is kind of there to be provocative, and it's a dope. They got some dope records on it, so definitely tell people to go get that. Have you heard the latest Division sampling they gave out?
I have not heard the latest Division. I love Division. I haven't had a chance. I've been like, looking and running with this show.
I've heard this album, but and I like it very much. I haven't heard it yet. And the thing is about Division.
Division always delivers for me.
They do.
They always deliver. They're also one of those groups. I feel like they just keep getting better and better as they put out music. So I'm always excited when they put out something new. So I just want to see, like, right? I definitely gotta check that one out.
I think also the thing is, I like, people complain about Drake not giving them a whole bunch of promotion, but I like the fact he doesn't, because he lets them curate who they are and build their audience. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you'll get that genuine, you know what I'm saying, relationship with them if Drake says, these are my artists all the time. Because sometimes you can do too much.
He ain't Diddy with it.
Exactly. He doesn't need to do that. Because let's be real. The Vision is very different. Like, Drake kind of dips into their bag every once in a while, but the Vision, for the most part, is very different from Drake. Majid Jordan is very different from Drake. You know what I'm saying? And then
Party Next Door.
Party Next Door is very different from Drake, but Drake has the ability to play in their fields. You know what I'm saying? He can kind of do what they do, but he can't do what they do better than them. And it's I feel like he's letting them grow and curate their own kind of audience, making their own music. And by the way, this game is getting really good right now. We're watching, it's tied in the third quarter, 2020. Jesus, good game by Legends. Sorry to interrupt myself.
I feel like J. Cole does that too with his artists. So
I think, yeah, J. Cole. But that's also, J. Cole lets them have their own identities, which Jid has his own identity. Earth Gang has their own identity. Who else is in Dream?
Blue. I freaking love Blue. Blue to me is probably the most underrated in Dreamville right now.
Is Ari in Dreamville? No.
Yes, Ari's in Dreamville. Omen is in Dreamville. Exactly. I don't know if you said Earth Gang, but yeah.
That's Earth Gang. But the thing is, like I'm saying, like, J. Cole is there to give assistance if they need him, but he didn't put himself on it. But, and no, let's be real, Diddy is a very different type of character. Diddy really isn't an artist. He's a personality that helps present whoever he's putting on, because people know Diddy as, oh, I'm the guy who has the next best thing, the next hottest thing, I'm bringing it to you. And that cosign meant something by him being on the screen or on the stage with him or on the song with him. That's what the cosign was. Like, you heard for a while back in the early 2000s that Jazzy Faye was trying to do that. Jazzy Faye wasn't Diddy. He just was a producer that wanted to put his name on some shit. It didn't have the same effect. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But like, I think honestly, Division, J. Cole does that well for his artists. Drake does it very well for his artists. Even though he gets criticized a lot, he does it very well for his artists.
Rick Ross does it well for his artists too.
Rick Ross was there early when they needed the cosign, but what happens now? Rick Ross just fades and does his own thing. He did enough to give him the cosign. The problem thing is, I can't say that for all of Rick. He didn't do well for Staley. Staley never went nowhere. Mass Pike Miles? I can't remember his name. Another R&B artist. Only other artist that he's done for very well is, of course, Meek Mill, who already had a career. I would question that he's done it very well for Wale. Wale has had to do with his own damn self. Let's be real. But for the most part, Rick Ross's artists have been able to stand on their own two feet as who they are.
Yo Gotti is the perfect example. Yo Gotti, he gonna make his artist millionaire, and he gonna show them how to get their own money. Like, think about the artists that Yo Gotti has brought into the game. Mm-hmm. You got Moneybagg, you got Black Youngster, you got Black Boy JB. Like, Yo Gotti, he's not my favorite rapper, but he is one of my favorite businessmen. Because, okay, like, you can tell he pours into his artists, and he wants them to not just be great artists, but he wants them to be successful on the back end. And I feel like you don't find a lot of CEOs like that. Sometimes they just like, oh, what can I get out of you? And like, he just seems like a genuine, like, stand-up guy. Like, I want to make sure y'all are taken care of whether I'm here or not. And like, I've got so much respect for Yo Gotti and just the way like he maneuvers that part of the business.
I even tell you this, another good person, Gucci. Gucci has been a very good person to introduce people. And for he pretty much has co-signed almost all of New Atlanta. Let's be real. And then also, think about it. He's helped Pooh Shiesty, doing very well right now. Who else? Fujiano, who needs to go to jail. He's on the run from the police. He burnt off his he burnt off his home.
He's the race.
Huh? He burnt off the ankle monitor. He's doing the race for real. A lot of the 10-17 artists are actually pretty good. But speaking of new artists, what do you think of the most recent challenges? We got the Busset Challenge versus the June Bug Challenge. And I met Spot'em, got him. I know the man.
I don't even turn my sound on no more.
Huh?
I don't even turn my sound on no more. I'm like, I already know it's going to be playing. Like, I don't know. I've actually been getting on the social media and the internet list. challenges are cool. I'm happy artists can get their name out. I'm happy people can have fun. But after a while.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see no more challenges right now for what's out. Like, you know, shout out to everybody, you know, getting that bag, having fun. I just personally, I've been removing myself from social media until some of these times die out. But shout out to them, shout out to the artists for getting the clout and getting the stream.
Ari, if you mad because your knee messed up, you can't do the Busted Challenge, don't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? I've been enjoying the Busted Challenges.
I want Erica Banks to be successful. So I'm happy that she was able to turn it around in such a short period of time, especially with how her name has been attached to certain things in the blog. So I'm happy she able to get that back. And what's the other one?
Spot 'em, got 'em.
Dang. Yeah, Spot 'em. That hometown. So, you know, I want him to be as successful as possible.
And it's also another hometown. You know, my boy DJ Pressure is his tour DJ.
Hey, shout out to Pressure, man. Pressure's cool.
Yeah, he was in Gainesville.
But Spot 'em.
This Saturday, he's going to be in Orlando. Sorry.
Spot 'em, I want him to go to the moon and beyond. Any artist from Duval, period. You know, I support. And I want to see them take off wholeheartedly. So, you know, shout out to all the Duval artists. All the 850 artists, too.
All the Florida artists. How about that? Take that.
Yeah, all the Florida artists, you know, people be like, what's Florida sound? Florida got a whole bunch of different sounds. Come here, check it out. Your water. You don't drink the water. Cause I don't know.
You might get crazy. I personally, challenges are just the new, I got to dance. Everybody learn to dance. Now it's instead of us doing it at the parties, it's now become a digital thing, and it's become vinified, if I can make that word a thing. You know what I'm saying? These little 30-second clips of a song. Meanwhile, keep in mind, the Soulja Boy, you had to dance the whole song. Now you telling me all I gotta do is dance to 30 seconds of the song and I'm good? You know what I'm saying?
Say less.
Say less. I'm there. My knees might not be able to go down too low, but I'm there. You know what I'm saying?
I can make it happen for 30 seconds. You know, anything beyond that, you know, hey.
And now I gotta learn.
Making no promises.
Now I gotta learn all these difficult ass edits. You know what I'm saying? for 30 seconds of social media clout. Like, honestly, like, I remember the Don't Rush challenge was dope. Honestly, y'all, Ari, the challenges they give y'all girls are way better than the guy challenges. Like,
y'all challenges, I'd be like, what? This is weird.
Right. Niggas can never have no fun challenges to make us look good. Like, the Don't Rush challenge only took off because the girls were doing it. Once the niggas started doing it, oh, the girls are not waiting. Look, I could turn around and come with my nice little three-piece suit. But y'all girls ain't checking for that. Y'all like, why y'all taking our challenges? Why y'all trying to do what we do? You know what I'm saying? But nigga, I mean, honestly, like you said, Erica Banks, I've seen footage of her performing places where nobody knew that record. Whole club just standing there looking at her, bro. And
as an artist, that sucks so much, yo. That definitely sucks. Cause it's like you want them to vibe to it, but you know how people are until like somebody else like vibing to it first, and was trying to like catch on to it.
So. I even tell you, I think part of the problem is the beginning. As a DJ, I'm gonna tell you my opinion, professional opinion. It's the beginning part of the record. That, oh, I think my butt getting big, my butt getting big. There's no like intro right into the beat. You know what I'm saying? That really gives, that really drives, you know, that you know what I'm saying, that music that gets the energy going. Think about it. For the Spot'em, the June Bug Challenge, that Spot'em Got'em record has a beat. Doom, 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 doom. You know what I'm saying? That drives the drives everything for the challenge. All that is for the busted challenge is just you're waiting for the words to get done, my butt getting by my butt, and then the beat drops. It's such a long wait for the record to come in.
Yeah, it is.
So honestly, if I was her management and her producer, I would have cut it out, or just had an intro part to it, to the record, her talking, whatever, and then have the Nelly breakdown part, and then have it go right into her bust it part. You know what I mean? Because it's like, there's no real lead into the punch. It's just you're just waiting. Now when I'm playing the song, do I have to play the beginning part of the song for everybody to fuck with it? Because then that's a long, that's 15 seconds of almost dead air, but Nelly's voice is saying some shit. And how many times you go to the club, besides when DJs are on the mic, do you hear like, empty noise when people just saying some shit?
Please don't. Please don't do that.
Exactly. So I think that was the one thing that was hurting her record, but that also has turned into the strength of the record. So
hey, shout out to Asian. I've been hearing the progression of her music, and even the whole King Von situation, R.P. King Von. Mm-hmm. I like the way she flipped her grief into her music, and to me, she's producing, she's making some of the best music I've heard from her to date. So, you know, I hope she keeps it up.
I mean, I hope she can keep King Von's sister off of her. Pressure. King Von's sister trying to beat her ass.
Hey, I'm
gonna
step up out of that situation.
I'm mad you're gonna leave me on the island. You gonna leave me on the island like that? Why you gonna sidestep me like that?
That's all the ladies holding me down.
Of course,
y'all keep progressing.
Of course, I totally co-sign that. That's coming for a really good female artist herself, Ari. But I think honestly, like I said, ladies are really taking advantage of this time in the industry right now, because they're the most visual, they're the most brand associated, they're the most marketable. You know what I'm saying? And the ones who
get
into the bag. Everybody's getting it. At least somebody got a Fashion Nova bag. At least, you know what I mean? If you're popular, you can get a Fashion Nova bag.
That's a big bag.
Yeah. But now coming into 2021, Ari, since both me and you are working on our events, and COVID-19 is out there, how are you planning to, not planning to keep people safe, but how are you feeling about it? I've already had one of my events this year. I've been DJing this year, wearing my mask and face shield. I know we saw video footage of this past weekend of Bow Wow performing out in Houston for a packed crowd in the club, and everybody was in there singing his music without a mask and drinking. And honestly, personally, I felt kind of a little bit conflicted. Ooh, someone just blew a knee out. I felt a little bit conflicted about it because I want to make sure that I'm being as safe as possible for my events, but also knowing that it's kind of, if I'm doing events, it's kind of inevitable that people are. The thing about the last event I did with the producers, there's no really talking besides when they have the mic, we listen to beats, whatever. So this Saturday, for me being a showcase with more artists, and I have 12 artists I have 8 artists signed up, and I have up to 12 artists possibly performing. It's just one of those situations where I'm kind of nervous, because, you know, you can't. I'm gonna tell people this is my policy for the club. The club's policy is this, but I can't police everybody myself. You know what I mean? And there's only a limited amount of a lot of security that can handle everybody. But I'm gonna do my best to do what I can do. But how are you feeling? How are you preparing? What is your group's thought process going towards this COVID-19 situation, considering the fact that we both are having our events on the same day?
So because this is ours is more so like a concert, we're definitely watching around the mics and stuff during set, but also because of the venue we have, we're able to open up the door, the garage door, like the big garage door, because it's a converted warehouse. So that's another way to keep the airflow going in, plus we have heaters that's going to be strategically placed throughout the venue. And then everybody who comes in the door will be handed a mask. Even if you already got one, we still going to give you one, so you got an extra one. And it's just, we've limited ticket sales. So we did physical tickets, we did online tickets, so that way we don't have a whole bunch of people showing up. We don't want too many people there, but we want it to be a big enough crowd so the artists can perform in front of a lot of people, but it's not to the point where it's like too crowded type deal. So keeping that door open, keeping the heaters going, giving everybody masks, sanitizing everything beforehand, after, during the show, and then just doing the best we can to make sure that people feel safe. I know a lot of people won't come out during the pandemic. I completely understand. But yeah, like you said, we can't police everybody, but we can put in those things to be proactive. So definitely the mask thing for us, and then keeping that door open is a big way to kind of help with the COVID-19 situation.
I think one thing for me is also trying to make sure that I'm able to maintain order, because I'm you know, my events are really well organized, so I'm like I'm a nut for that. So like, even somebody's like, yo, can I pick my performance? I'm like, no, you can't. You're paying me to perform. Like, why would I let you pick your performance time? What type of, like, I don't understand. You pick your time. No, I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. That's like, I have no control at that point. That's just stupid. Anyway, I kind of feel that it's just important for us to really think about this, trying to maintain a level-headedness in the night. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make sure people can have enough space, enough time, wear their mask. And the best thing about this thing is my boy DJ Secret. He's DJing during the during the performances. I'm hosting. So I will constantly be able to harp on people. Hey, man, everybody, if you're not performing right now, please wear your mask, wash your hands, sanitize your hands. You know what I mean? Try to keep everybody safe. I'm going to try to make that a part of my thorough process. I'm going to be wearing my face shield. I'm gonna be wearing my mask. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be taking it. I always want to give the air and show people that by example, that I'm leading by example. You know what I'm saying? By showing I'm wearing my helmet, wearing my face mask, wearing my face shield, and just being as cautious as possible so other people can see me taking it serious.
Exactly. And then we also have those the sanitation stations. Mm-hmm. So throughout the venue, it's going to be hand sanitizer everywhere. I mean, you can also wash our hands in the bathroom, but also, we're going to have hand sanitizer everywhere.
Yeah.
And just making sure we're wiping down the mics and stuff in between performances. You got a lot of chlorine, like, you know what I'm saying? I'll make fun of shape. But, yeah, man, we're just trying to be proactive, limited capacity. That was, like, a lot of people, like, why are you guys on tickets? We wanted to make sure we could control the crowd. We didn't want to have too many people in there. Just so for the ones who are there, and so that the artists feel safe and they feel comfortable about doing the show.
I mean, I can only control what I can control. I know they had an event last week at the same venue that it was packed out. So I'm hoping that my event has a decent amount of people, because I did online tickets. I didn't give physical tickets, which I think I'm going to do next time. We've already talked about this, Ari. But then also after I do the physical tickets, you know, limit it to a certain amount of people per person. But I don't expect to pack it out to 200 people this time. I expect it to be around 50, 60, maybe 100, but the venue holds about 300 people. So I'll be at 1/3 capacity if I hit 100 people. So I'll be happy with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Facts.
All right. Ari, once again, thank you for a wonderful show. You know, you're my sister. Give a round of applause. I think we covered
thank
a lot
you for
of topics.
Having me. Give yourself a round of applause.
Oh, give me a round of applause? Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. Once again, January 23rd, we are both having events. Ari, give them the details on your event, please.
January 23rd in Tallahassee, Florida at Very High Society in Tallahassee, Florida. Doors are at 8:30. Show starts at 9:15 p.m. This is Catch My Vibe Tour. First stop of the Catch My Vibe Tour. Make sure y'all, if you can't come, so you can get the tickets. We literally only have 5 online tickets left, and I think we have 10 physical tickets left. That's it. After that, we sold out. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can see what I can do for you, but you probably can't get in because, you know what I'm saying? Gotta make sure, you know, people going to be safe. But Catch My Vibe Tour, the first stop of the tour, is in Tallahassee, kicking it off at VHS, hosted by none other than Mr. VHS himself, the Beast. We got a lot of dope artists on this field. We got artists in the pop realm. We got some rappers. We got some singers. We even got a saxophonist to kick off the show for you. So we got live instrumentation, and we got free drinks, free masks, some hand sanitizer there, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead, get that when you walk in. But yeah, we're going to have a good time. Catch My Vibe Tour. We come to a city near you for sure, so make sure y'all stay tuned. Follow me at Airya Music. That's A-I-R-Y-A Music. Hashtag TKK and Cole. Hashtag Catch My Vibe Tour for more information. Get at me.
Facts. Tickets are live on Eventbrite, and get them tickets. All right, it's your boy DJ Spot of the Don. Of course, my event is January 23rd as well, going down at the Geek Easy, which is across the street from Full Sail University. Tickets at the door will be $5 entry. I still have 4 more slots for performances for artists who want to perform at the showcase. It is the return of the Orlando Passport Artist Showcase going down at the Geek Easy. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances are going to start about 9 o'clock, 9:15, 9:30-ish. I have to set up the timing for artists. So Wednesday is my last day to allow artists to sign up for the show. On Wednesday, that day, I'll be actually locking in the performance times and everything. Artists, if you come hit me up on Thursday, sorry. Hit me up on Friday, sorry. Hit me up on Wednesday, you might have got a chance. But everything is being said that $5 at the door. $5 online on Eventbrite. Please come out. Watch your favorite local artists perform. Watch your friends perform. Support them as they support the local music scene and perform. We both do our events for you, for local artists, to get an opportunity to grow and build experience, as well as y'all to network and learn what we got going on. So please, January 23rd, please support either the Catch My Vibe Tour in Tallahassee or the Orlando Passport going down here at the Geek Easy. Of course, it's your boy DJ Spot of the Don. Follow me at DADONDJSPYDA and follow the brand at Fly at Night. Get your t-shirt. Come to all the events. And check out the podcast. Of course, you're listening to it right now. And that's the brand is FLYATKNITE. That's FLYATKNITE. That's Fly at Night. Of course, it is the It's Facts podcast with your boy DJ Spot of the Don. And of course, Airya Music.
Yo.
And I really appreciate you for being on. We're doing this. We're knocking them out every 2 weeks. But I just want to say thank you so much. We pray for the country. Y'all, please watch the news on January 20th. The reason why I'm telling you that is because you want to see. Want to know what's happening, what history is being made. If you weren't paying attention on the 6th, that was history in itself. I mean, we're not just watching for the foolishness, but you want to be able to know, remember where you were when history was made. The only reason why I watched wanted to watch the counting of the votes, because I knew that's history. Watching people say they weren't going to certify people's and discount people's votes was history. Watching these treasonous senators saying they weren't going to allow the electors to be counted was history. Make sure you know and watch it for yourself. Watch it with your eyes so you cannot have somebody tell you what was history, but you know history for yourself. That's what I want to leave off tonight with. I think I'm going to title this Know History for Yourself or something like that. I'm going to figure it out. But once again, it's Facts Podcast, your boy DJ Spotted and Area Music. Y'all have a good night. Hear from us in 2 weeks. We out.